Over the next couple weeks, what's fun is we're going to look through Scripture so that we don't lose track with all the festivities, with all the busyness. Think about it. You've got your list that you're shopping for, right? You're starting to think through maybe what your list needs to be. And you're and the busyness of all the different holiday gatherings, I might already be starting to overwhelm some of you. You're starting to grab your wrist, let the breathing come down. It's one of those crazy seasons. But in spite of the busyness, let's focus in and not lose sight of what Christmas is all about. And so this morning, the next couple weeks, we will be looking at different vantage points of the Christmas story, of what Christmas is all about. So today we're going to be learning about lessons from the shepherds. We're going to look at the shepherds in the Christmas story. So in Luke chapter 2, let's dive in, because there's lessons that we can learn from the shepherds and just some observations. So I'm not going to preach a ton. I'm not going to preach points as much as observations as we work our way through this passage. But let's look at it. Luke chapter 2, we're going to start off in verse 8. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid." He said, "I bring you good news to bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped in snugly in strips of cloth and lying in the manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. And speak to us. May we not lose sight of what this season's all about. So reveal to us your truth, your power, your might, who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. So some quick observations from our passage this morning that I think will help us unpack this passage. First, God chose the common, ordinary people to break the news. So this is the news. Not just a God. The Son of the God is born in Bethlehem. The news was not broke. It was not proclaimed by a king at a palace. It was not by a decree. It was not given by a priest in a temple. It was not given by a powerful, majestic person or a wealthy person. It was declared to a cluster of shepherds out in the middle of a field. The most unlikeliest group found in Scripture, shepherds in this day were ordinary people. Because they were so busy, often points in the field or with the sheep, they were never allowed to do many of the customary worship of the day. And because they were so busy, they didn't have the interaction with people to even talk, to discuss Scripture, to talk about God. So many points in society, they were looked at as nobodies. So the news, the greatest story of all time, was not broken out to anybody but the lowliest people first. I feel like that is so pivotal that we don't miss that observation. That the good news comes to the lowly first. In fact, it echoes Paul's words, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful and wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose the things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they're wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose the things despised by the world, things counted on as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing that the world considers important. God first chose the lowly. God first chose the rejects. I'm a reject. I'm a reject. I praise God that he saw me and he revealed himself to me. If you're a follower of Christ, one of the greatest parts is God. In some points, you can go, but I'm a nobody. Why would God want to use me in this story? And the shepherds, trust me, had probably the same indication. When you see the glory of heaven peeled back in this legion of angels, starting with one, but then all of a sudden manifested angels everywhere for 500 years. So get this backdrop. For close to 400 to 500 years, there's been no display of angels from Zechariah till this moment. There's been no activity like this. No prophets were seeing angels. It was dead. But then all of a sudden, angels started to reveal themselves to Mary, Joseph, and now the shepherds. All of a sudden, God's activity is alive. And I think it's not by mistake that we make sure that we don't miss that God began to choose the shepherds strategically to bring this news. Look at verse 8. That night there were shepherds staying in their fields nearby. In other words, the shepherds, they had the night shift. So here's these lonely shepherds. They're pulling the night shift. If you've ever worked a night shift, those still on night shift, you get what we're saying with all that. It's not glorious. It's not fun. But you do it, right? And that's what the shepherds are doing. But that typical night broke out in a different one than ever before. See, David had the same experience. He's working in the fields at night. David in the Old Testament, even when he was proclaimed king, he wasn't there to be proclaimed. He was out working in the field, lonely, out in the fields, all by himself. The shepherds were the last people you would expect to be given the announcement just like this. And just to blow your perception of Christmas, this wasn't December 25th, that when Jesus was actually born. We don't know the exact date. It wasn't December 25th. If we go off of this, being in the field, customarily, shepherds would do this from April to November would be the time frame. And it's typically when they would be in the fields. Otherwise, during the winter months, they would be corralled in and not out in the fields. But the shepherds, as they're in the fields, they'd gather the flock, get them into a corner at night to protect them, overseeing them in case some type of predator would try to come and pick one off. So here they are, and all of a sudden, the dramatic takes place. Look at verse 9. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. See, God chose the shepherds specifically to be the announcers of the greatest story ever told. So maybe you've ever been in school, if you remember, being picked to be on some type of sports team, and you were the last one picked, or towards the end. Or you watch that dynamic play out. If you were in that position of being the picker, you know, if you had the choice of somebody that could spin a basketball on their finger, or you had the other person that is wearing dress shoes and they're not equipped to be able to play the game, you can look at it and go, let's see, which one am I going to pick? You know, you're going to go with the one that could spin the ball. You're going to be with the one that's doing that. Definitely not the one with the dress shoes. They're going to be sliding all over the court. And we've all been there. And it's amazing that God chose. He chose. Strategically, purposefully, he chose the shepherds. And I just hope that you will find, because there's some points when you get into the Christmas season, it's so easy because we have our ideals of what Christmas should be. We have an ideal image in our mind, and some of it's reinforced when you're watching a movie, when you're watching your Hallmark movies. If it's time of confession, have I watched some? Yes. Not because Pastor Stacy has them on, but because I turn them on. So you get into the Christmas move, you get the Christmas music playing. We have our ideals of what we think Christmas should be, and yet often points reality never matches. And so some points when it doesn't match our expectations, we often look back at ourselves and it makes us, when it should be a wonderful time of the year, it's anything but. We feel the stress of where we're at and who we really are, not the ideal. We don't experience the ideal. We're not experiencing peace. It's a great reminder to know that in all of that, God would still choose you. He would choose the lowly. He would choose the rejects. 1 Samuel 16:7 gives us the heart of God. When Samuel was making that choice of to crown King David as the next king, the Lord said this to Samuel as he was making that decision: don't judge by appearance or height. I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So if you feel like an outsider at Christmas, it's real easy to come even into a church and you put the smile on, the Sunday smile. Hey, everything's fine. But you could feel like a reject. You could feel like an outsider on the inside. You just need to know God sees you. And he loves the outsiders. He loves the rejects. It's why he chose them specifically to speak to them first, is to step forward to announce the greatest news of his greatest demonstration of his love. He reserved to the lowly. That the first announcement would come from those who the world would look at and scoff and laugh. It's one of the greatest parts that we should be encouraged about. Second observation this morning, look at verses 9 and 10, would be when God shows up, it can be terrifying. So when you start to realize that there's a real God that wants to be at work in your life, and he all of a sudden begins to come alive in your life, it can be terrifying. And it was for the shepherds. So capture the depth of this in verse 9. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of God's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. The Greek word here for terrified is where we get our English word phobia. So they were so terrified. So some points we do when we do our musicals and our plays, and you see the shepherds terrified. Yes, they were frightened, but it goes even deeper. This is a part where you have nightmares about this moment. You know those moments when you're scared of something that then you go and you make a commitment, I will never go back to that. I'll never do that again. Because in the moment you do, you get around those moments where you're like, and you go back and you start playing the flashback of fear. And you're like, why am I back here again? This is exactly where the shepherds are at, in that fear. They know that this is too much to contain. But the angel of the Lord, verse 10, reassured them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news and great joy to all people. So some translations say, hark. Some say, fear not. Some say, behold. But this is the moment God brings some ease to their fear, and he speaks to them, and he leads. And God will speak to us, and he'll lead us, prompting us to steps of faith that at some points will scare us. But it's only if we trust him more. So if we're going to really understand this Christmas season, know when God begins to speak into your life and show himself in your life, sometimes those steps of obedience is going to be really frightening. It's scary. I remember some of the first weeks we stepped into Youth Alive. I don't talk about it too often, but I can remember on a financial side, we needed to have about $3,000 come in a month. And so it didn't take much math to realize, yeah, with what we did have saved up in our missions account, yeah, we got maybe 2 months of a run at this if God doesn't come through. And I can remember walking the streets of Sioux City, Iowa, and this is 2 weeks before we're making our final transition into July, scared, but knowing God's called us to do this, and just said, God, I'm just going to trust you to come through. And I'm working up that courage from fear to faith, saying, Lord, you just got to demonstrate yourself. And literally on that walk, my phone rings. And it was a private foundation that we had worked with here in Wisconsin that helped us equip students with gospel resources. And they had heard about our transition, and they set up matching funds, much like what we're doing with our offering with Speed the Light. And they said this, we're excited about what you're doing. We want to, up to $30,000, we want to match your offerings as you're starting out in your itineration. So for the first year, our offerings as we were out speaking as missionaries was matched dollar for dollar up to 30 grand. Kind of walk with a different step, you know. And I honestly, I wish I could say transparently that I walked in that faith then every single time the rest of our tenure. I wasn't. There'd be parts I'd come back to another lesson where it becomes a step of faith. That seems huge. It could be terrifying. But when you trust God and really lean back into Him and let Him demonstrate His power in your life, it's powerful. And that's what we see taking place here in this passage, is the full display of God's glory, and the shepherds are freaking out. They're terrified. But then as the angel and God's presence begins to be demonstrated, don't be afraid. We're not here to bring judgment. We're here to bring the greatest news of great joy. All of a sudden, peace began to settle into the shepherd's heart. And you know, it's amazing how we've had to talk about peace on Sundays, the last couple Sundays. That's why we're even bringing it here. What a reminder in this holiday season that peace is important and that God will bring it. Another observation is this, is that the good news is personal and for all people. But the angels reassured them, don't be afraid, I bring you good news, and that'll be great joy to all people. The angels bring good news, but it's right to you. It's right to me. It's directed to us. This personal message is for you. So this holiday season, remember that this birth that we're celebrating, this birth that we're remembering, is that He chooses you. God chooses you. It's why He sent His Son, was for you. The reason for this season is all about great news, but it's not for a no name. It's for your name. It's for you and for all people. Whoever calls unto Him. Look at verse 12. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem. A Savior who is the forgiver of our sins. The Messiah who's the deliverer of His people. The Lord who's the creator and maker of it all. This personal, God-given message, God-given gift to us. It's a personal calling. It's a personal message that our almighty good God wants to give to all of us. A fourth observation is God makes the wrong places right. I really had to settle on this one for, sit on this for the last couple weeks. Verse 11 and 12. Because we realize that the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. So as we're reading that passage, I'm sitting there, and this is the part that stuck with me. So the greatest message, the proclamation that Jesus was born today in the city of David in Bethlehem, did not occur in Bethlehem, but is a long ways off in a field. That doesn't add up. If you're really trying to make an impact, why not do it right there in Bethlehem? Why not do it in the neighborhood right where Joseph and Mary was going to live? Think about all the neighbors that knew, you know, Mary was about to have a baby. Wouldn't it be better to have done the message there? People knew about it. They had saw her pregnant. Now you have shepherds that don't even know who they are. It's just one of those thoughts that just came back. And some points we could look at it saying, it's the right message, but at the wrong place. It should be a reminder to us when we look at this, is they're so easy to have as we go through life that we feel like we're in the wrong place in life. As we're going into this Christmas season, it's real easy to feel like, hey, everything you're saying, but here's where my life's at. I hear what Christmas is all about, but man, I'm in the wrong place to receive it. Here's the good news. You may feel that you're in the wrong place, but guess what? You're in the right place. God makes all the wrong places right. And by his provision, his purpose, his plan, God breaks out the greatest news to these lowly outcasts in the middle of a field, in the middle of nowhere. The greatest news should be a reminder that when you feel like you're out in nowhere's land, God can make your wrong season right. God will make all the things that we would think there is no way, he'll make a way. God's up to something if you feel like you're in the wrong place this season. Just know that this message that you need to be reminded of is that even when you feel like you're in the wrong place in a holiday season, God will make the wrong place right. Another observation, and this is where I wanted to go back to because we preached about the last couple weeks, is Jesus brings peace to our situations. Suddenly the angels joined together by vast hosts of others, so it just wasn't one, but they have armies of angels from heaven praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest of heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God has pleased. See, the angels began to show up. The shepherds changed their gaze. They're in awe. All of a sudden, there isn't a fear. All of a sudden, there's just this amazing peace. And they're hearing the echoes of heaven all around them. The noise wasn't just angelic when you hear it. It would be loud. And yet they absorbed it in. The beat, the song, the whole measure of what the angels are proclaiming, the shepherds are caught up in it. God's bringing peace inside. And just like when we learned several weeks ago about how God brings peace, his shalom peace, he brings it to the inside to radiate out. And that's what God wants us to be reminded of, is even in this picture, we see that at play, is that the shepherds could have so easily just recoiled in fear, but God wants to bring peace. Sometimes Christmas can produce anything but that. Schedules, activity, and then just life happens. See, as we approach December 22nd, December 22nd is a tough day for me. It'll be 30 years ago that my dad passed away on December 22nd. And it was just shocking. We had no clue. It was a sudden heart attack. And I wondered over that next year as I was dealing out that process of grief, as we approached that Christmas, I'm like, is this going to be how Christmas? I mean, I always looked forward to Christmas, the lights. Now all of a sudden it's a reminder of the funeral. A lot of unfulfilled dreams. All of a sudden, I realized my dad's not going to be around. I had this image of a picture up on a wall somewhere or up on a shelf that would have been a generational picture of my dad holding my kid. And maybe I'm right behind him and I've got my hand on my dad's shoulder. You can kind of see the picture, right? And it's amazing how we can get into the holidays and it feels like everything, all our thoughts go out the window and you don't have that peace. And I remember approaching that first Christmas just wondering, a little bit of dread. Is this the way all the Christmases are going to go? is this the way Christmas is going to be reminded in my heart? This is tough, God. And I can remember as we got ready for a church musical, and our worship pastor, Jeannie Nickel, did a phenomenal job. She pulled this song into the musical. She wrote this whole musical herself that particular year. She pulled a very popular song called If You Could See Me Now. And the play played out with the innkeeper, modern-day innkeeper, passing away. And he sings from heaven to his wife, who's downstage from him, sings from heaven, if you could see me now. And here's the words. If you could see me now, I'm walking on streets of gold. If you could see me now, I'm standing tall and whole. If you could see me now, you'd know I've seen his face. If you could see me now, you'd know the pain's erased. You wouldn't want me ever to leave this place if you could only see me now. And see, it was at that moment when I'm listening to that song, and Stacy had tried to prepare me. They were doing the dress rehearsals and stuff, and she's seeing how this is all connected. And she tried to warn me about a week out. She goes, hey, I'm just letting you know this is going to rock your world. Just telling you, you better be prepared. Take some Kleenex. And she was so right. But I'll just tell you this. Christmas does not have to be defined by some of the hurts of your past. Because so many points, when we get back to the temporalness of it all, and that's what this message that's being proclaimed on this Christmas is all about, is victory over all. Victory over all of the things that you will ever face in life. Death, hell, and the grave is defeated. It's about to be. This is the start, the genesis, the birth of a plan that God has. And this is the peace that he wants us to be reminded of, is that he'll bring a peace regardless of your situation, regardless of your story, regardless of your status or standing. We have a God that's for us, that's with us. All of a sudden, the grief, when I really reflected on those words, because my dad was in the early beginnings of emphysema, so he was already dreading the day we would go to the mall, and if he saw somebody on a scooter, you know, that had an oxygen tank on, and he would just look over and look at me and go, oh, there's my future. If only I could have one more part with my dad. It's just what's great is he was a believer. He'd rededicated his life to the Lord long before he passed away. But it would have been to remind him, Dad, that's never you're going to be your future. There's more beyond that. That's a season, but that's not your future. Christmas should be a reminder of what our future is all about. Because when I sat back there and when I think back to my dad regretting the moments that he would have been on a scooter, and then I actually went, yeah, if I could see him in this place, I would never want him to leave. If I could only see him now. And that became such a great healing moment that literally Christmas paradigm is put back into its right spot. So even though we approach December 22nd and I'm a little somber at about, and I always find a moment to have a moment, but it's 10:20. In fact, that 10:20 Central Time, so here, Central Time would be at 11:20. I literally look at my watch, just take a moment, and never wish him back. I remember. And just know that some of the deepest wounds that you might have, just know that God wants to bring peace. And he wants to bring peace just not to the outside, not just something superficial that just gets you through the moment, gets you past the holidays, but lifelong. Bring a peace that goes from the inside out, that radiates to bring peace and hope to other people. I've passed the lyrics on to so many different people of this song, especially when their loved one that's passed away is a believer, because it's a reframe. Yes, we still hurt. Yes, we still will grieve. But you know what? It's tempered when we remember and when we capture. Another lesson, another observation we can learn from this field is it comes from this, verse 15 and 16. once you know, you better go. In other words, once you know Jesus, you better go. What I mean by that is there all of a sudden when you start to capture, oh, this is personal. This is Jesus revealing to me all that he wants to do. You better go in obedience to him. Look at verse 15. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord talked about. And so they didn't just dawdle. Look at what the scripture says. They hurried to the village, and they found Mary and Joseph. They found the baby lying in the manger. See, receiving the message of hope for this Christmas, you won't do casually. When you know, you start to go on a pursuit, and you got to go. Jesus becomes the message, the meaning of life. It's just something you don't do casually. You do all on pursuit, and that's what these shepherds did. The angels declared, but all of a sudden they realized they found a piece. We got to go check this thing out. We pray for Christmas that you discover the real meaning of what Jesus is all about, and then you pursue it. You pursue him, that through the services that you'll have here, the cantata in a couple weeks, that you will not only be able to invite and have your friends have the gospel explained to them, but you yourself have that reminded of his peace, but then also on display is that your pursuit, God meets you. He meets you, he leads you, and it'll just usher in a whole new season of relationship with him, that he wants to reveal new things about who he is and what he will do in your life. So if you hear, when you hear the message at Christmas, here's my challenge to you, is that as you pursue Christ, if you're not passionately pursuing him during the holiday season, you're missing the whole point of what the season's all about. The gospel is the word. There was a written word, and the written word tells us that the living word became flesh and dwelled among us. That's the season we're talking about here. Is that God dwelled among us, that he would later go die on a cross for us. See, the reason of the season is Easter. The need for this season is our sin. It's a reminder for us that when we start to pursue him, God will reveal himself to us. He will not leave us in our stranded position. He'll always make a way. He'll always reveal himself. And so when we open ourselves to pursue him, God will reveal himself in a deeper way to us. Seventh observation, once you go, you'll know. So not only will you know, will you go, but when you start to go, you're going to know that there's even more that God has for you. The more steps of faith you take as we go into a new year, the more you start to become aware of God's activity and what he may want to do in your life. We're seeing that on display with the shepherds. All of a sudden, they go on this pursuit. They go out to a whole different city that they didn't know. They're finding, what part could this be? They're trying, and they find Jesus, and it's just like the angels had said. All of a sudden, the confidence that they had just didn't leave them at that part. So one of the observations that we can capture from this moment is that Jesus just didn't give them a physical gift. He didn't change their job. He didn't change the shepherd's financial situation. He didn't give them a new home. Their lives didn't necessarily change dramatically, but they were announcers. All of a sudden, they were the bearers of the greatest message of all time. They began to realize that there's a God that exists. Hope began to spring forward, and they were the bearers of confirming who Jesus is. This isn't an ordinary baby. There's going to be an amazing thing that God's going to do through this life. Are we going to be aware of it? The second part of this that I want you to capture is that the shepherds went from being an audience to what God was doing to become part of the choir. See, this is what I'm talking with this observation is once you start to go, your participation changes. It just isn't going. It's just not going to church. When Jesus comes alive in your life, you go from just participating to you're a choir. I love what this theologian shares. His name's Dr. N.C. Wright, and he shares this. Who will listen again to the song which the angel sang once and once only? We now have the responsibility to learn to sing the song for ourselves. See, one of the amazing parts is music has an amazing way of just cutting into our life. And the shepherds experienced that in the field. When the angels began to sing, they could hear that, the noise, the music, the message, and they wanted others to be able to experience it. And the only way they could do it was to begin to shout it out. They began to become announcers of this amazing news. Oliver Wendell Holmes says this. He goes, many people die with their music still inside. And here's one of the tragic parts that can happen to so many of us as we approach Easter or Christmas. And I want to make sure that we don't all follow into this trap. Is that God will put a song in your life. Sing it. But I can't sing on key. See, here's the good thing. I can't either. So you'll see me in the bass section. If I'm off key, you'll see me lean one way or the other, depending on where Kurt is standing. So I can hear, okay, yep, I'm back. I'm back on key. Yep, I can find it. One of the amazing parts is God's gonna give a music into your life that only you can sing. So my question to you is take a moment. What has Jesus done in your life? Who is Jesus to you today? Because when we start to take that step back, what is the song that he has sung in your life? Are you still singing it? Are you still announcing what Jesus has done in your life? Because once you know, you've got to share it. And that leads me to the last one, is once you know, you tell. See, it's just not enough that you know. You've got to proclaim. Look at verse 17. After seeing him, speaking of Jesus, the shepherds told everyone what had happened. And the angel said to them about this child, all who heard the shepherd's story, they were astonished. See, people were blown away. If our worship team can come back. One of the amazing parts when I look at this is you just can't help but contain. You got to share what Jesus has done. And there's different levels of truth that you have to walk through in order for this to really be real. You can hear about it, so you leave it in your head. There's other parts, you can hear it and start to see a level of truth to it. But there's another part that Jesus and the truth doesn't really become real until it becomes part of the heart, until it has impacted you and you've allowed it to resonate to the point, yes, and what he's done and what he wants to do. See, once you know, you can't help but gotta tell. God has that plan and purpose for this church. You just need to know. As we go into the next year, this is where I pray that we don't lose and forget the lessons learned from shepherds, from these lowly men in the field, that God wants to do a work for us to be able to go and be proclaimers of the greatest story. So even this week, I pray that the message of Christmas so resonates deep within you that you can't help but want to tell. See, if you're here today and maybe you're not walking in a relationship with Jesus, here's the great thing you need to know today is that message still is singing and reverberating today as much as it did in that moment with the shepherds. The power of the prominence of this message is still rolling out. It's still being proclaimed. And even today, at this moment, God has sought out of his providence for you to hear that there is a God that made a personal way for you to know him. And he wants to know you in a much deeper, personal, relational way than you've ever experienced before. See, this church is not made up to be a religious entity. We are made for a relationship with him. We are made to have a personal relationship with this God. And that's the heart of what this Christmas is all about. And over the next several weeks, our prayer is that you experience that, the real meaning of what Christmas is all about. So would you all stand with me this morning? And one of the parts that I want to just encourage you, if you're here today, and maybe it's been a while since you've really given your whole life to Christ, so as you're hearing this, is Jesus a song that's singing from your life? And you might be saying, you know, I know it, but I really haven't been leaning on it. Is it the song? Is he your leader? Is he your savior? The only thing that you're leaning on? See, Jesus wants you to make that commitment to him, because here's the great thing. He will always continue to reach out to you. It's always going to be the offer's there, but you can never guarantee that you have a moment like this. It's one of the great tragedies. People go, well, why should I be in a hurry? I can do my life. I can do how I want it. Here's the amazing thing is God may, just the way life will take you, your heart, if you don't respond when God is starting to speak to you, you'll develop a very easy callus that just grows over time. And all of a sudden, God's voice, it gets quieter and quieter. So if you're here today and you know you are not in right standing with God today, where he's your savior and leader, he wants you to walk out of here confident in that. And for all of us today, he wants us to walk with a joy in the midst of maybe some of the Christmas chaos that's out there with our schedule, the details, just the way life can bring it. Just know he wants to help you to have a peace to walk in this season, to be able to put a song into this season of great news, of great joy, of what the season's all about. But if you're here today and you know you need to reset your relationship with Christ, I just ask this simple question to you. If you're here, this is your moment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. And Father, I just pray for your Holy Spirit to be at work right now, because God, you know hearts, you know lives. And with every head bowed, I ask this question to you. If you're here today and Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, would you just look my way and raise your hand just enough that I can see you, because I want to pray for you? Thank you. Is there anyone else? I want everyone to say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for not giving up on me, for loving me. Come into my life, be my Lord, leader, and Savior, my Messiah. Put a song in my life, a song of worship to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you opened your heart and made Jesus your Lord and Savior in that prayer, I just encourage you, before you leave here, make sure that you see one of our prayer people that will be coming. In fact, if I could have our prayer team, those who are prepared to pray, if you'd join me up front. As we go into just a time of worship again, I've enjoyed the last couple weeks of leading our services this way, and I feel like it was very appropriate today to continue it, is that if there's a part that a need that you want agreement on, that you can find it. It's why if you have a physical need, and I encourage you, just like James 5 says, have the elders of your church pray for you. It's a command. It's a scripture. It's a function of how a church should be praying for one another. But when they anoint you with oil, it's a symbolization of God's Spirit meeting your need. And we're praying at that moment, God will heal you. But there's also PowerPoints of agreement, whether it's financial, marital, emotional, whatever, you just want to grow closer to the Lord. In fact, I encourage you, if you made that prayer today to rededicate your life, I just encourage you to come up to one of these and just let them know that so they can pray with you. In fact, we want to be able to give you a Bible to help you in your new relationship with Jesus. So we want to help you with your next steps. So that's why it'd be important. Take a physical step. The things you do physically will affect you spiritually. Take the courage of that step and let them pray with you. And I just encourage you, as we go back into a time of worship before you go, to just soak in what the season's all about. Is that God would send his son to the rejects, to the outcasts, to the unlikely, that he's taken steps, that he continues to take steps for all of us as the unlikelies in life to know us and to be with us. And I pray this blessing over you. Father, may the Lord bless you and protect you. Lord, may you shine on us. Father, I just pray right now may you show your favor and give us your peace to the praise of your glory, to the building of your church. God, as we go into worship, may you build up our lives, build up this church to be the church on fire, on mission for you that you want us to be. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.